Okay, we'll go ahead and call the common council meeting to order. It is 7:02 p.m. on October 14th. Let's stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Weigel.
Here.
Warwick absent. Romine.
Here.
Penrod.
Here.
Simpson.
Here.
In front of you are the minutes from our last meeting on September 23rd. Are there any changes or corrections? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve?
Make a motion to approve the minutes as presented.
Second.
Motion by Ben, seconded by Nicole. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Up next is ordinance number 2014-20. Can I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Dan, seconded by Ben. Any further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous of those present. Please read ordinance number 2014-20 by title only.
Ordinance 2014-20, an ordinance amending Chapter 75, Traffic Schedules of Title 7 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Columbia City, Indiana.
As a reminder, this is the, I believe, the second reading of the traffic ordinance, and this is for the new streets that are being installed in the Cambridge subdivision on South State Road 109.
The only question I had, and I know it's extremely minor, but now that we have West Longfellow Boulevard, and it should be West Bainbridge Court as well. I didn't know if you wanted to put a W in front of that or not.
Okay. Kelly?
I mean, it's not that big a deal. Okay.
It's by itself. I mean, Dan and I just had that discussion.
Okay.
There's no other streets like that.
Is it, what is it platted? Is it platted West Baybridge Court?
I believe so. Well, I'd have to go back and look at the plat to be certain, but I know I told them that it was going to be west directional.
Okay.
And I think I looked at the map you gave us because I wanted to make sure the spelling. I didn't see a west on there, but.
It's possible. You know, on the plat, I don't know. I thought. I know the addresses will be West Bainbridge Court.
It will be?
Yes.
Okay. No matter what the plat says?
No matter what the plat says, because they got to have directionals on them now for 911 purposes.
Okay. Okay.
There's a number of times the plats are coming in with just the names, but then we have to give a directional.
Okay.
So that's fine. I just thought.
I don't think. Any problems with that? I figured. Okay. Hearing nothing else, can I have a motion to approve on second reading?
Do you want to make that change?
That's fine. Yeah.
That make
I don't have a problem with that.
Well, I'll just say.
If that's how the address is going to be, that's how it needs to be written in our ordinance. So
we'll approve it
it's
with that
really
change.
It's not really the address. It's the street. It's the street.
Right.
Well, I'm just saying, it's whatever the street name is. Because it's a whole street, right? That'll be 20 miles per hour.
Yeah. Yes. So, I'm asking for a motion that includes the addition of a W in front of Baybridge Court.
Okay. I'll make a motion. We approve ordinance 2014-20 with the addition of the West or the W to the Baybridge Court.
Second.
Motion by Ben, seconded by Nicole. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous of those present. Next up is ordinance number 2014-17. Can I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Ben, seconded by Nicole. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous of those present. Please read ordinance number 2014-17.
Ordinance 2014-17. An ordinance to be known as the 2015 salary range benefit ordinance.
A couple of changes to note on here. I'll just kind of go through the highlighted sections. What is budgeted right now is a fire volunteer assistance fund that we've added into the fire department budget. That's going to be a kind of a new way of engaging volunteer firefighters. Tom, do you want to talk about it very briefly about just so of why it's in the salary ordinance?
It's in the salary because we set a pay scale of $10 an hour. I think we got $5,600 set aside
for next year's
budget to pay out in that, and we would incorporate some of the volunteers that have their firefighter 1-2 and first responder certifications to come down and assist with daily duties and actually be more involved in the fire service itself. But it kind of brings the group together and gives the city more manpower during peak times when we are lower, when we can go back and show a track record of being low on volunteer staffing. Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting sound happening behind me. I don't know what it is. Yeah, I think the fire volunteer assistance, I guess position or positions, whatever, is actually going to be a really neat addition to what we already do. It provides basically another set of hands, and I think it's actually a really neat idea. So,
evolved as to where it was. He kind of came up with an idea. That's been what, a couple years ago, then?
Mm-hmm.
He kind of threw something similar to this out to us. So.
Yeah. I think it's a great idea.
But it's a way to fill shifts, you know, without hiring another full-time person currently.
Well, I want to make sure that we know that we're not replacing full-time with
Right.
Yes.
But to supplement, basically, yes.
When we need more people, rather than hiring another two full-time people currently, that's a way to supplement that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was just thinking of something that happened in a department head meeting that I don't know if I've addressed yet. Anyways, okay, so next up is specialty pay for the school resource officer. Tim has requested, just like we do for our K-9 officer and our trainers and so on and so forth, that we have specialty pay for the school resource officer. Because it is a specialized position, there is specialized training that goes with it. So. Did I just say that? Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. Okay, next up is one of my favorite subjects recently. That's Columbus Day. This year, as you well know, we took Columbus Day with your approval. We took Columbus Day, moved it to the 31st, no, excuse me, the 26th of December. We will observe, if you will, Columbus Day on the 26th of December for this year. But for next year, what I'm proposing is that we take Columbus Day and basically we split it and we give, and I'm talking about non-public safety right now. I'll get to public safety in a moment. But we basically take Columbus Day, we split it in half. Currently, New Year's Eve, the half day for city employees, and Good Friday is a half day for city employees. My proposal is that we take Columbus Day and we split it in half and give a half day to each of those days, so those are actually full days. Instead of having a Columbus Day, we basically have a full day for New Year's Eve and a full day for Good Friday for non-public safety employees. Okay. Now, for public safety employees, that's different, and that goes to what I was thinking about our department head meeting and the discussion that we had there. Do we have it all figured out? Tom says we have it all figured out.
Yeah.
Tim's looking like he's confused. So,
yes.
As it's written in here is okay.
Yes.
Okay. So for public safety, they would receive a full day holiday pay for Easter. All employees would get New Year's Eve, and non-public safety employees would get Good Friday, and public safety employees would get Easter. Does that make sense? I don't want to confuse it much, but does that make sense logistically to the council to split Columbus Day and
make
those two full days?
Yes. Just for clarification.
Yes.
All employees, including public safety, will get New Year's Eve.
That's correct.
Okay. And then all the employees except public safety are getting Good Friday.
That's correct.
Public safety will get Easter.
That's correct.
Okay, I understand.
Yes, sorry.
That's okay.
The other employees don't work Easter.
I apologize.
Right.
Because it's Sunday.
Yeah.
Well, I got confused on the first one, mm-hmm. the New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm with you now.
That was my fault. In concept, do we agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. And then gap hours, I think, did the gap time committee meet about this?
Yes.
Okay. So the gap time committee, which was created 2 years ago, last year.
It was our first year, right?
That
was one of the first issues.
2 years ago. That's right. So we worked on the gap time between the schedule hours and the 171 for police and, what was it? 212 for firefighters. But in any case, what came up this year, though, is the fire marshal. And the fire marshal is working the normal 40-hour work week, but there's some ability, obviously, of the fire marshal to potentially fill in for shifts and things like that with gap time. Am I explaining this correctly?
Yes.
Do you want to, how about you explain any more than you have?
Anything you work over the 160, we felt that would be correct to have the same scenario as what the police have for their gap time availability. So we're just saying if he would work over 160 in a 28-day cycle, that he would also be eligible for the gap time per my approval.
So those are basically the changes in the salary ordinance, the salary range and benefit ordinance for 2014, or going for 2015. So questions about that?
I don't think we may have talked about this before, but the resource officer, is he on, I mean, he works, what, 40 hours, or how's that, as far as, does he ever get where he's into gap time because of being at the school and then filling shifts or getting called in? Or?
Very rarely. The reason he would possibly get that is if he works his normal hours during the week at school, and by the time we had a two-hour training, so if he would attend that training, it would be above and beyond the schedule. Hours, so that could be a gap time situation there.
Okay.
But it doesn't happen very often with that position.
But I was thinking with some of your staffing issues that may occur in the next 6 months, whether or not you'd be using him.
Yes, and then during the summertime, he goes into a more
of a rotation
type situation during the summer.
So does he need to be set on the 160, or is he okay being on the 171? Was what I was getting at.
Yeah, he set the 160.
Okay.
But he would be available for gap time, his filling shifts or extra training and things like that. So he does fall into that gap time policy.
At the 160 or the 171?
Anything in between the 160 and 171.
Okay.
Would be the gap time.
Okay. The only reason I was asking, because it wasn't segregated out like the fire marshal is, so as long as you understand it and he understands it, I'm fine with it.
Any other questions, comments, concerns about the ordinance? Okay, hearing none, can I have a motion to approve ordinance number 2014-17 on first reading?
Make a motion we approve ordinance 2014-17 on first reading.
Second.
Motion by Ben, seconded by Dan. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. Nicole and Ben and Dan approve.
I'm going to abstain.
And Bill abstains. Okay. Next up is, I think our favorite topic, yes. Next up is sewer rate discussion. So after our last meeting, I took some of the comments. Rosie and I worked on a couple of things. took some of your comments, went back, did a little bit more research, did a little bit more checking on things, found some additional information that you may find beneficial. So I want to kind of run down the proposal, and we'll talk about those separate items. I'm really not going to spend too much time on the actual 765 idea. I think at the last meeting we basically agreed on that. The area connection fees elimination, that was also agreed on as per our notes. So we're down to tap fees. I did do some more checking, and the kind of the spectrum is all there. They do it all over the place, but the majority of the tap fees for these different meter sizes are higher than ours. So I went back to the drawing board and looked at some of the different fees and what they were charging, and the kind of the fee schedule that Rosie and I kind of thought made sense is what we're proposing to you today. There are some fee that tap fees for meter sizes of 4 inches that are in the $40,000 to $60,000 range, which is a lot of money compared to the $22,000 that I'm proposing. But the 5/8 inch meter, which is the normal fee, that was right around the $1,000-$1,500 mark for most for a lot of communities, especially communities our size. And I, as I mentioned there, Angola, Plymouth, Huntingburg, all communities that are very close to our size. Angola is slightly smaller. Huntingburg is, I think, slightly smaller. Plymouth is slightly larger, but all were above our current tap fee. Tap fee dollars. So that's why we changed the projection there. We also talked with both Jeff Rao and from Umbaugh and Buzz Crone from OW Crone, both rate consultants, about multiple issues, and I'll kind of hit those, but both of them did say that our tap fees were low. And also said, after looking at the projected schedule, said that they did not believe, based on their experience, that the tap fees that we have set would discourage residential or commercial or industrial growth, for that matter. Okay. Questions about the tap fees?
So just to clarify, what does the tap fee cover?
The tap fee covers not only tapping into our service, but the man hours that go into that and things to that effect. So it's, for lack of better words, it's a, how's a good way to describe it, Rosie? Like a,
well,
a charge to become part of our system, kind
yes,
of?
Yes, and to put towards the expansion or any upgrades that need to be done, that's all part of it.
So it's for, obviously, any kind of new homes that are built, it's typically a part of the basically the building of a home. Kelly, just so I'm clear, I think I know the answer to it, but I want to make sure. When a developer comes in, like let's say for Cambridge, for instance, Cambridge Crossing, when we put in, well, we don't put in the sewer, we inspect the sewer, but they put in the sewer. Do they put in sewer taps to each house?
They put in a tap coming off.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it needs to extend across the rest of the property line or if it's already on that side, they do extend a piece to the property line, the tap, and the homeowner connects to that.
Yep. So many times, I'd say probably the majority of the time, unless there's an annexation involved, the majority of time the developer of the subdivision or whatever is the one paying the tap fee. Correct or no?
I know when we... Or when I worked at the mobile home park, and we paid all those. Mobile home park did when they put in that last expansion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not sure. The contractor, between the contractor and the developer, are the ones who are paying for the tap.
Yeah. But it's not typically the citizen that moves into that house, is what I'm saying.
Unless they somehow absorb that into the cost of the house.
That's true. That could be. Or when a business builds, it's the same type of thing. Obviously, that's part of the construction of the property in and of itself to tap into our system. So,
I guess my question was more to do these rates we're charging cover our costs and whatever we have to do to...
Go ahead.
We don't have a lot in,
okay,
in the actual... It's just a visible inspection to make sure it's... connected properly. It's not a lot of man hours invested, just driving out to the site.
But water tap is different, right? Because we actually do the water tap.
Well, on a, like they were saying, like out at Lincoln Point, that they'll put the tap in, but we still have to go in and put the meter pit and tie it in.
So it's a little different because the water department does a little bit more construction type stuff.
If it was an annexation and that we was putting new water in, yeah, we would do the tap.
Mm-hmm.
If we were putting water in, yeah.
Now, certainly in an annexation situation, the council has, and correct me if I'm wrong, Marcia, but I believe the council has pretty broad authority to decide fees that need to be paid or not need to be paid, fees that can be waived or not waived for that annexation purposes. The council has pretty broad authority to decide charges and things like that for an annexed area because you have a whole nother annexation ordinance in and of itself that sets a lot of that stuff, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, some of those laws have changed just slightly on that, so I don't know if they adjusted those or not since we haven't had an annexation since they changed. All within, of course, I don't have a good answer for that, actually.
Okay. So, questions about tap fees? Thoughts? Ideas? Okay, then I'll keep moving on. Okay, so we had some pretty substantial discussion about the flat rate. And I think that, I do want to thank you for that because I think Rosie and I were both under a certain impression that was maybe not completely the way it was. Was that a fair comment?
Yeah.
But, yeah. Okay, so as we got looking into the law does say that we, quote unquote, may force individuals to either hook up or pay a fee. So, and I'm giving a cursory overview here, but basically it says we may. So we have that option. It's in our ordinance specifically, and Marsha, I'll probably point to you on this one a little bit, but it's in our ordinance that I think, Rosie, didn't you say 100 feet? Is that what?
I think it said 100 feet.
Within 100 feet. Okay. So, but it is up to the city council to make that determination. So as Rosie and I kind of talked about that a little bit and taking into consideration some of the things that you had mentioned, I would agree in principle that for individuals that are not dumping anything into our sewer system, paying a large rate about the amount or more of a 4,000-gallon user is probably not fair. So, but one thing that I think is important to keep in mind is the fact that a lot of these citizens that are not connected to sewer but have a sewer line running in front of their house, that in some way, shape, or form, someday down the line, they will be added to our system because IDEM will not grant a permit for a new septic system when there's a sewer line running in front of the house. IDEM is very much discouraging the growth of septic systems when sewer systems are so much easier to manage and monitor and things to that effect. So here's my proposal. I'd love to get your feedback on it. Those that are not connected to our sewer system, whether or not they're connected to our water system. So anybody that's not connected to our sewer system but is a city resident, pay a flat $20 sewer maintenance fee. And again, I think it's important to understand that somewhere down the line, these residents are going to hook up to our system. Whether it's when their septic system goes bad or whatever, I think it is important as a part of this, as a part of the city, as a future user of the system, that having some kind of a maintenance fee is important in that. I threw out the flat amount of $20 a month. That adds up to $120, $240 over the year, when they're paying $55 now a month. Certainly that's going to be a tremendous savings to them, but I do think it is important to have some kind of fee that helps maintain our system so when they do connect, that system is there and available. And Bill, you look like you have questions.
Well, we're talking about people that live inside the city limits?
That's correct.
Okay. What about the people that live outside the city limits
but the sewer system is running past their door.
Mm-hmm. Frankly, I did not put a proposal together for that because I'd love to hear your feedback on that. I guess I'd say this, is that I don't know. Again, I think IDEM is pushing everybody to go towards sewer systems. They're talking countywide sewer systems in a lot of places. I think LaGrange County, I think if I remember correctly, is going toward toward a countywide sewer system. So I kind of left that open-ended. I'd be more than happy to entertain ideas from that.
They're currently paying $55 a month.
They're currently paying a flat rate of $55.55, although our outside rate payers, outside customers, paying that same amount, that same flat rate of $55.55? Okay. So, if you want to extend that out to them, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, I think ultimately if they are going to have to connect at some point, they should help with the maintenance of this so that system is there for them someday. But again, I think
that's more than fair to extend it out to those people as well, because they're not doing anything.
Are they paying that fee now?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're paying the flat rate.
$55.
So we'd just be reducing it.
Right.
Yeah.
Just like we are city residents.
That seems fair to me. Yeah. We treat them all the same.
So inside and outside.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Residents that are not connected to sewer, whether or not they're connected to water. Okay? Did you hear that? Okay. And then really the last category, our city residents that are connected to our sewer system but are not connected to our water system. One of the suggestions was made by Mike Shoda at the last meeting, I believe, to potentially have a water meter hooked up to their well. That the city would provide. It would be our water meter that would be provided there. So ultimately, the question becomes. Cities have the ability, as you well know, to force individuals to hook up to our systems. Okay, in the past, we, you know, with annexations and so on, in the past, we've not necessarily forced individuals to do that. We've tried to incentivize it by giving them a better rate than normal, if you will, but we haven't forced anybody into this. A couple of things I played with, and I'd love to hear your comments regarding this, but I think city residents who are connected to our sewer system but are not connected to our water system, I think either we need to be monitoring how much they actually consume. I think that's the fairest way, meaning that they have a water meter hooked up to their well. And I've talked to Mike a couple of times, and Mike continues to assure me that he can do it, that he can hook them up to these wells.
Can we mandate someone to hook a water meter to a well?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. Which we can work that out. But here's kind of another idea that I've been thinking about and trying to figure out a good way of doing this. If they choose not to go on the water meter, we could also we could just lock them into the 4,000 gallon rate. So they basically have a choice. They could be on the water meter. They put the water meter on the well. Once they do that, though, I think they're locked in at that point, because then we know what their consumption is, no matter what it is.
Would we install the meter without cost to them?
Well, what do we do on a normal home when we install a water meter?
Well, usually you have your tap fee that takes care of that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's whatever the council says.
Yeah. So, I guess, again, that could be something that could be up to you guys. If you wanted to charge a fee for the installation of the water meter, you certainly could do that. If you didn't want to, if you just wanted it so that we knew what their consumption was, we could do that too. So I'm looking for ideas on this one, because this is one of those that the fairest way to do it in concept, the fairest way would be by consumption. Those that are using more should be paying more. Those that are using less should be paying less. That's the fairest way to do it. So the water meter makes a heck of a lot of sense, but I'm not sure if we can force them to do it. If we can't force them, I think the other option, the alternative option, is the 4,000 gallons, because that's, I mean, that's what we say is the median, the middle ground there. So
this may seem like a stupid, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Can you meter sewage?
No,
not effectively, I don't believe.
But our sewer rates are related to how much water we use.
That's correct.
Right, that's why they're
directly related.
But can you meter sewage though?
From what Mike Coca said, he's not here, right?
No.
Okay.
Mike couldn't be here tonight.
Well, I've asked him this before, and his explanation to me was, with all the stuff that goes through the sewer, those things would get clogged up, and
in the meter,
the maintenance on the meters, they would fail.
You don't find that many communities, at least in my experience, you don't find that many communities that meter sewer because of that reason. The maintenance, the ongoing maintenance is difficult.
Well, I think if we're going to charge them to put the meter in, then I think we should give them the choice of either the 4,000 gallons or putting the meter in.
But if we don't charge them?
Well, I would say since we're eliminating the area connection fees, I mean, we want to encourage people to connect in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
And we've made a statement, I believe, in the public meeting that we weren't going to adjust the flat rates. But that was what I believe was said.
Hmm.
They didn't think that, I think Rosie said she didn't think that would be affected by
this.
Yeah,
we did say that.
So.
Mm-hmm. Well, we weren't going to raise them.
Right.
We didn't think we would raise them.
Correct. So I don't know that in good faith we can go out and say you're bound at the 4,000 when we've already said we're not going to adjust those. And I know what you're saying, but.
Okay.
What do the people that are not on water but are on sewer,
mm-hmm.
like this one we're talking
mm-hmm.
about now,
mm-hmm.
do they pay the flat rate now at 55, whatever?
No. Yes.
That's
yes.
The one now?
That
the
they're on sewer but
they're
not on water.
Not on water, but they are on sewer.
They pay the
55.
They pay
the 55.
They pay the 55. Yeah.
Which is more than the 4,000 rate.
That's correct.
So we wouldn't be charging them more. We wouldn't be raising their rate.
Right, but they would be affected by the future rates increases.
But that would be their. But that could be their choice if they
actually
the water
no.
Meter.
Actually, they would be, because in the first year, the $7 increase would put the 4,000 gallon rate over the 55.55.
Okay.
Yeah. Sharon.
Well, I kind of disagree with charging for the meter. We were forced to annex into the city. We did not have to hook the water. We had to hook the sewage. And I was told that the rates were not going to be messed with, and now they are.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel that there's an obligation to the people that don't have the water but are using the sewer. You know, we've already been jabbed for 12 to 15 years on a 1-inch minimum.
Mm-hmm.
And every time that went up, we paid that price, and I brought it up many different times, and it never got changed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not fair. I mean, if anything, I deserve a huge credit on my account.
But you don't know that for sure because you don't have a water meter to tell how much water you're using.
I don't use
over
water.
I'm just saying, but you don't
know. I
know
it. Hook me up to a meter, but don't charge me for a meter when you've annexed.
So you would, so just so I'm clear, so you would be in favor of hooking to a water meter because, naturally, because you believe that you're going to be using less than the 4,000 gallons or whatever.
Absolutely, but
and I understand
I'm
that.
Just saying, though, who in the last several years when we were annexed, who made that decision that we were going to be based off of a 1-inch meter?
Mm-hmm.
Was that IURC or was that council?
And I can't answer that because it's clear that was before my time. I don't know the answer to that.
I mean, one-inch meter, clearly we were forced to annex.
Mm-hmm.
We have no way that we could get out of that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you didn't hook the water, then you were penalized for not hooking as far as the sewage rate.
To be set at that flat
absolutely.
Rate. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I deserve a nice, wealthy, healthy credit on my account over the years.
Yeah. But you feel like it's a fair situation by allowing you the opportunity to have a water meter on there, though, because then you're paying based on your consumption, not just this flat, random 55-55.
Well, if that's the two options that we're going to get when indeed we want to be messed with
mm-hmm.
to begin with,
So would you be? Would you rather stay on the 55-55 then, versus given the option?
I'd rather you guys get it in line to where it's fair to the people that have the hook into it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what I'd rather you do. But I can guarantee you that if you're going to charge people to put a meter on their well, you're getting us again.
Yeah.
And there's not that many. I believe 10 to 15 in Westgate. There's a few in Lincoln Way. There's a few different
Park
places.
Street.
Yeah, there's West not Park. Many. There's not many. Yeah. But still.
I mean, I think I've paid my fair share over 15 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Do I understand correctly that when we annexed people, we told them that their rate would never increase?
No.
Is that what I'm hearing?
That's what I heard, but I don't know how you can promise that. But.
Well, you kind of sort of did that with the industrial, with the contract that was dealt to them, they equated him with $1 million. That contract was drawn up, and I guess it's for the life of them being on that property. Well, I didn't get any choices at that point.
It can raise at the same percentage as the rest of the population.
I'm still going to get that break.
Over the million gallons. Over the million gallons.
Mm-hmm. But nobody gave me a break as a residential.
So what's kind of the thoughts, the opinions regarding this last item? Individuals connect to the sewers but not connected to our water system.
I say we either leave it where it's at, since that's what we said in the last meeting, or we give them the option to hook up a water meter that we pay for.
I like the option of putting a water meter on that we pay for. That way, like Mike said, some of the people will be surprised how much they actually do use. I guess I'm leaning more towards the option of us paying to put the water meter on. And if they, you know, if that proves that they're using less, then fine. You know, then.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's more than fair to senior citizens and people that are using, you know, one or two people households. That gives it up. I mean, and just like giving them a break on, you know, setting this, since we found out it said May, you know, I don't know what council put that into effect or made that rule, but kind of down to 20 versus the 55-55 is
the state was May, the council was shall.
Well, I think we need to follow what the state says on this issue. I'm not 100% sure I follow the state in most things, but in this case, I think it's more than fair to the people that are not doing anything or putting anything into it.
Right.
I think it's a little ridiculous that shall was put in there to begin with.
But I think if we're going to pay for the meters, I'd like to see the meters put on, if we're going to pay for them.
Yeah. Overall?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
If we can, I don't know if we can.
Yeah.
Force, you're saying.
Right.
Force. Do you? Okay. Yes.
Do we get the summer sewage break if a meter is installed?
I would say probably if we know what your rate, if we know what your. Yeah. No, I think that's fair. I think that's fair, Sharon. I would say if we know what your usage is, just like every other resident in Columbia City, if we know what your usage is, that we lock you into whatever that rate is for the summer sewage.
I think that's the key, is that the people will be treated the same. If we can do that, we treat people the same. That seems fair to me.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You know, if it's metered, it's metered, and it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. So, just by nods, charge for meter or no charge for meter?
No charge for meter.
Okay. And then are we talking an option of meter or the flat rate, meter or the 4,000 rate?
I think we've got to find out what we can do.
Okay.
I mean, if we can't make people put them on, then I think we've got to put the option out there.
Okay.
Right.
So, okay, but the opposite of what I just heard you saying, though, is forced water meter if we can. If we can't, then water meter or flat rate.
Correct.
I don't like the word forced.
I don't like to
tell somebody they're forced to do something. I guess I'm more on the opinion of option, you know, hey, here's an opportunity. If you don't, if you think you're using less than 4,000 or what our flat rate would be, mm-hmm. you know, here you go. You know, here's a meter. You know, you can look, see what you got. But I don't want it to go out and say, hey, you have to hook up.
I'd say the meter or the 4,000.
Yeah.
Okay. My two cents, and that's fine if that's the way the council wants to go. I guess my two cents would be after they have a meter on, I think that's what we go by.
Yeah.
I don't think they should have the ability to go back to a flat rate though.
Right.
Because what I'm concerned about is they put a meter on. I don't think this will happen with you, Sharon, but they'll put a meter on and they'll find out they're using 7,000 gallons of water or of sewage.
And then they want to go back.
And then they'll pull it back off and say, no, I want to go back to the 55 rate. Well, that's not fair to the rest of our consumers
right.
either.
Right.
So once they have a meter on, they're locked into the meter.
Right. Right.
Is that fair?
Because we are giving them a choice.
So the 55 is going to be less with. It's not an option.
Well, what I heard. What I heard, and please, counsel, correct me. What I heard was either the option of having the water department put on a free water meter onto their well, or pay the flat rate. That's what I heard.
The
4,000.
The flat rate will not go up.
Well, the flat rate would be whatever the flat rate said.
Well, our discussion last time was if everybody else goes up 7%, then that goes up
7%. I get that, but I was also told that the flat rate was not going to be moved. And that's what
how many years ago?
No, this was in the
how
meeting.
How many years
the
ago?
The first meeting.
This was a couple meetings ago.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
First meeting.
I don't remember saying that.
Well, I don't think it was definite. We said
we talked about
it. That would be a good idea.
The flat rate was not going to be messed with. Then I read the paper that it was going to go down to possibly 50 and then up to 57 and then start.
But what we did last meeting was discussion, not voting.
It was in the paper then. Maybe it was incorrectly put in the paper.
I don't believe it's fair to our other users that their rate increases and that other people's rate doesn't increase. That's simply not fair to the other users.
That's correct, but a one-inch meter and be paying the minimum for the last 15 years or better has not been fair either.
But whoever, whatever city council that was and mayor that was or whatever, they did the most fair thing they could in their minds.
Nobody
sitting here tries to screw anybody. We don't.
I do think though having the option, I think makes this a better situation. I mean,
you mean the option of
The free water meter on the well or the flat rate. I mean, I think or the 4,000 gallons or whatever
you guys decide that
you want to do. But I think that water meter part is really
for the Sharons that
have this situation where they. You know, probably have been paying much more than what they should have.
Right.
Now, at the same time, we have nothing to base that on, though. I mean, we only have what you say you use. But from that perspective, you know, there's a lot of individuals that are one or two person households in the community. Whether they have this flat rate or not, I don't know. But I do think the water meter is a fairer way of
right.
doing it.
But 15 years ago, when they did that, they didn't. Probably didn't have that option,
mm-hmm.
so they did what they thought was the most fair thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't disagree with that.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with that.
Well, like most things, we got a lot better education now, and it's a lot more information than what that previous council had to make. Hopefully, now we can make better decisions.
Exactly.
And that's what we're trying to do here.
Right.
You know, trying to be more fair to everybody instead
right.
of trying to isolate things in and out all the time.
Right.
We just have better education, so now's the time to make the changes that we feel that can be more fair to our
right.
our users.
Well, and certainly having a flat rate, even if it is, especially if the flat rate does increase by the same percentage as every other rate in that regard, certainly that incentivizes individuals who believe they're paying less
right.
to get onto the water meter.
Right.
Okay, so if I understand correctly, the only thing that we had the change of those that are not connected to sewer, that are not connected to sewer, we're okay with the $20 sewer maintenance fee.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. Okay? And that's for inside and outside users.
Right.
Okay, so then on this last part, those that are hooked up to our sewer system but are not hooked up to our water system, that if we... No. You guys want there to be an option. Free water meter?
Or.
But once the water meter's set up...
No going back.
No backsies. Mm-hmm. I like to say. Okay, so then, what's the other? Is it flat rate? Is it flat rate at plus the, you know, percentage that the rest of the rates are going up? Is it the 4,000-gallon rate? What is it?
I'm fine with any of them, actually. But I think it should. Not the flat rate staying the same, but the flat rate going up the same as what
same
everybody
percentage.
Else's is. Either that or the 4,000.
Or the 4,000.
I'm fine with
which actually the 4,000 would be cheaper for the flat rate.
Well, I think it should be the 4,000. I mean, my personal opinion, it should be based on the 4,000. If that's what we're basing average usage on,
mm-hmm.
based on the 4,000, but with any increase that is
so,
happening with...
So instead of, you know, I think...
Which would lower their rate, but then...
Well, not really.
Well, it would, well, I guess it wouldn't because of the...
It would not be as large of an increase
it catches
as
up
the as 7% of the flat rate right now.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. But it would keep it lower than the 55. If we bumped that at the same percentage.
The 7%.
Right. Because it would be basically a $2 increase. Well, less than a $2 increase for the flat rate users
mm-hmm.
to go to that 4,000. Yeah.
Is that based off of a 5/8
and not the 1 inch? Is the flat rate based on a 1 inch then?
It's based off of
the flat rate. It's based on the 1 inch, but if you're making the 4,000 gallon, that's based off of a 5/8 or a 3/4, which was
1860
now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, personally, I'm thinking that it needs to be based off the 5/8 inch meter because that's what most residential, right? Most residential homes are based off of 5/8.
5/8 3/4. But the rate we're talking about, the 4,000 gallons, is the 5/8.
It's the 5/8. That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. It should be based on the
4,000. So it should be based off of that 4,000.
That was your question, right, Sharon?
Basically, the 5/8 and the 3/4 meter is the same meter.
That's the same minimum, too.
It's the same meter because the only thing is where they screw on the 3/4 has got a little more brass there. That's it. The flow is the same.
Mm-hmm.
But that was your question, right?
Right. I want to
okay.
make sure if you're doing the 4,000, you don't have to borrow 1 inch
no.
meter now.
Yeah.
It would be the same
right,
as everybody
right,
else.
Right.
It'd be the same as everybody else.
It's just based off of a flat rate. It's not specifically a 4 inch or a 2 inch meter. It's just the flat rate for someone not hooked up is
currently.
$55.
Currently.
Yeah.
Well, but what
about the 1 inch meter?
It's a flat rate. Doesn't matter
correct.
If you don't have
a
meter.
Meter though. A 2 inch meter is going to be a bigger minimum. It's always been based off of a 1 inch meter.
A minimum. Your sewer bill is a flat $55.
That's a 1 inch meter. That's what you all based it off of back when. And if you say a 2 inch or a 3 inch, then you're getting up to bigger figures. The 1 inch is what it's been based off of ever since we've been having.
Well, it's a flat rate $55.
Well, I think the point is this. I think the point is that by moving those that choose not to get a free water meter installed, that by choosing to stay on the quote-unquote flat rate, it's going to be based on the 4,000 gallons at 5/8 inch meter.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
That's what I hear you saying.
Yes.
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 Okay.
Which is what residential is, correct?
5/8 inch.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's 5/8 and 3/4.
Yeah. Which they're both the same. Right?
They're both the same minimum.
Yes. They're both, rate-wise, they're both the same.
We don't have different flat rates, right? It's just a flat rate, it's a flat rate, it's a flat rate.
It's a flat rate. Right now it's a flat rate, $55.
Yeah. I think what Sharon's trying to say is that when it was originally established, it was established off of 1 inch meter, not a 5/8 inch meter.
Right.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah.
So.
But now we just call it a flat rate and don't talk about what it
no.
right,
means.
Right,
yeah, so.
Okay, so are we close to some conclusion to this thing? I mean, certainly we're still going to have the public hearing. We're certainly going to have the publication. We're going to have the ordinance, all that stuff. But I want to be able to give Marcia something to start working on, because there's a lot of ordinance sections that she's going to have to go through and change.
Well,
and maneuver.
She seems enthusiastic about
she
it.
She does, doesn't she?
She's crying. She's so happy.
Well, first I got to find out whether you can even do them.
Yeah, right. If we can do it.
I mean, yeah. I have no idea. I've got a lot of questions.
Well, didn't you say you did it in Bourbon?
Yeah. Didn't that make it right? It's like Sharon says she's the only one in out, right? So she's not using more water. Why shouldn't she have the option to put a meter on there and pay for what she uses? That's what I'm saying.
Well, I don't disagree with that. Yeah.
I think that's what we just said.
They don't have to do it.
Yep.
We give them the option, because she thinks she's not, and I would probably think she would with only being one person. Mm-hmm. But let her have the option to do it. If by chance something, you know, she'd have family over, she uses more during the Christmas time or something, she'll pay a little bit more. But you
right.
used it.
Correct.
Do you have a problem with that?
No,
that'd be the fair way.
I have a problem paying off of a one-inch meter for 15 years.
Yeah.
But if you're talking the flat rate, mm-hmm. you're talking the minimum plus 4,000 gallons. But the flat rate, it continues to go up the next 3 years and the next 3 years.
The
same
flat rate would be based off of the 4,000 gallons that is, would just be off of the normal schedule that if you were metered on water and you were using 4,000 gallons, you'd be paying that same amount than whatever the flat rate is. So next year it would be, I think, 57 is what I think is projected to be for 4,000 gallons next year, the following year.
So if the flat rate does get increased over that.
It would be increased.
Well, the way we're
yeah.
talking, though, we're kind of getting rid of flat rate and going more to minimum.
Going to, well, not minimum, average.
But average.
We're going to the average,
average
rate. So it wouldn't, there would be basically no more flat rate. It would be the average rate,
right.
which is the 4,000 gallons.
Right.
I'd love to talk to you afterwards, Nicole, so that we make sure that we're on the same page on this. So make sure... All this is clear.
Then you can talk to me to make sure we're awesome.
Because this is all, anything right now that we're talking about or talked about 2 weeks ago or whatever, or 3 weeks ago, it's all speculation.
It's all discussion.
It's all discussion.
Well, and I think...
It's nothing...
Out of our first discussion, there was a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that challenged me and Rosie to kind of go back and do a little bit more homework and take a look at... Because... It's more than just a rate increase. I mean,
right.
you know, the way that we're talking is, you know, we're trying to look at this in a holistic way, so that's why we're looking at eliminating the area connection fees to try to encourage individuals to get onto our system. We're looking at, you know, obviously raising of the tap fees that hasn't been done for a while now, and looking at a rate that, quite honestly, I think, I'd say at least 50% of the time is probably unjust with the, they're not connected to sewer at all. And yet they're paying $55 a month, as well as those that are connected to sewer but not water. So I think this is a good holistic way of looking at the system as a whole and fixing some things that weren't good and trying to add some options for those that have felt like they've been forced to pay way too much for many years. So I'm not sure we can give credits, but we at least can write it from here on out.
Well, I don't think you can give credits because there's no way to prove it.
Well,
you'd have to be able to prove it.
Well,
and there is no way.
And that's the same thing. I mean, everything is data driven, but
mm-hmm.
but does it? I mean, is this a package that I can give to Marcia at the end of the night and have her start to craft an ordinance from it?
So what did you get from the? What are you taking away from this with the? What are the options that you wrote down?
Well, I have free water meter installation
mm-hmm.
and flat rate based on 4,000 gallons off of a 5/8 inch meter.
So we want to take out the flat rate phrase and use
Sorry.
Average rate.
Right. Average rate.
Because we kind of want to trash the flat
That's
rate.
True. I get it. I understand.
Mm-hmm. I'm good with that.
Okay.
Because the flip side of that, those people that are paying the flat rate
yeah.
or are using the system are actually using the system.
Yes.
As
versus the $20
right.
maintenance.
That aren't even hooked up to it.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Okay, so we will take that and we will craft an ordinance, maybe. Some big discussion happening down here. We certainly will schedule the public hearing and all of that kind of stuff, yes.
One question, though, if Marcia, so that we don't have to take another week, if Marcia finds that for some reason we can't do the meters, then are we still getting rid of the flat rate and using the average rate?
Don't look at me. This is
I say yes.
Discussion.
I say yes.
Base it off of the average rate.
Yeah. If we can't do the meters, we change. Get rid of the flat rate, we change to average rate.
Yeah. And I'm pretty hopeful we can use the meters based on what we're doing.
Why couldn't we use the meters?
I don't know. We don't know.
I mean, if it was voluntary, I don't.
Yeah, the original question was whether you'd be forced on, and that's where I got that in my
mind. I think we're past that.
I know you are. I understand that. But that's what the original question was.
So
just to just to cover it so we didn't have to bring it all up.
Right.
Start all over is what.
Okay. Bill, did you have a question? Oh, I thought I saw my hand raised. I'm sorry. Okay.
So how many of your neighbors you think would voluntarily put on the meter?
You know what? I don't even know who is or who isn't at this point.
I know, Rosie, I know you did kind of a count. Okay. I think there were, I feel like there were 10 or 12 residents overall that were not connected to our sewer system but were paying the flat rate.
In the city.
Yeah, actually there's more than what I thought, and there's a lot of them that have paid their tap fees, water and sewer, but they're not hooked either. I mean, they did it because they got a good rate at the time when we annexed them. With the anticipation that eventually they're going to hook up, but
so like when their septic goes bad, they'll hook in.
Correct.
Yeah.
But they've already paid the tap fee, so they don't have to pay it.
Or their well goes bad, they can hook in.
Yeah. They just have to pay for the contract and put it in.
And I had that printout. I don't know. Do you got it? You don't have it. I thought I had it with me, but I don't. No.
On another note, did you ever find out how Plymouth is at 1850?
No. I asked. I will try to find out again, but I asked. I have no clue. I have no understanding of how that. What I'm guessing is that accidentally was a water rate, because that sounds more like a water rate than a sewer rate, but I asked. I'll ask again. I don't know how it's possible.
Whatever voodoo they're using, I think,
yeah.
At that rate.
It'd be worth looking into.
I did reach out to 10 different communities of our size in this region, basically trying to figure out where they were in our long-term control plan, in their long-term control plan versus where we are. And I got responses from Huntington and New Haven and Plymouth and
Angola.
Angola and Plymouth are both done with their long-term control plans. They did not have much to do. Huntington is a little over halfway done. They have tens of millions of dollars still left to spend. New Haven is just starting. They have tens of millions of dollars left to spend. And their rates just went up to very comparable to ours. New Haven's did, which is interesting because New Haven's a little under double our size. So that's just kind of interesting.
You know, even Angola's was at 3680.
Yeah.
I thought was.
But remember.
With no projected increase.
Yes, but remember that there were. Communities, and Markle is another perfect example of this. When Markle's forefathers, I just know this from my past experience, but there are some communities that their forefathers put in separate stormwater and sewer systems. So the reason that we're being targeted by IDEM, just like a lot of communities, is because we have combined sewer overflows. So today, when we had, and I don't even know if we had an overflow today or not, my guess is we probably did, but with all the rain we had today, it all rushes into that system and combines, and we have those outfalls into the river. IDEM's main issue is you need to close those CSOs. Our issue is we close those CSOs, it's going into all their basements, and my basement, and all of your basements, if you have a basement. So so that's the problem. And some of these communities, their forefathers had a lot of foresight on putting in these stormwater systems and separating their systems and finding ways to treat the stormwater. Unfortunately, our community was not one of those. And so we waited until, we were a little ahead of the game, but for the most part, we waited until someone said, you must. And that's what we're charged with doing.
I will say Plymouth, I've seen their financials, has a lot less debt than we do.
Yeah, remember, I think, what's it, 48% of our revenue is going toward, is it 48%?
Debt service. Yeah.
Is going toward debt service. So we're working off of, our sewer utility is working off of 52% of our revenue. Mm-hmm. So, doesn't make it any easier on the residents. Doesn't make it any easier decision for us.
Well, how did they do that, though? How did they accomplish what they needed to do without debt?
They didn't.
I don't know.
They, again, I don't know their history, but I mean, they didn't have very much, if anything, to do on the long-term control plan. Now, remember, it also has to do with waterways and things to that effect. I mean, if they didn't have, and I don't know Plymouth all that well, but if they didn't have a river or something that they could overflow into, maybe when they were planning out their system originally, they didn't have that option to do a CSO. Remember, at one time, CSOs were welcomed and approved, and now they're not. I do have something to go on. I appreciate the hard work that you've done and some of the really intense discussions that probably have never taken place up here, or so it's been a long time. And I do appreciate all the work that each individual has done. And certainly, Sharon, it's been good to see you. And I think you have added a lot to our discussion. I do appreciate that.
Taking the time to try to make it fair.
Mm-hmm.
I do appreciate that.
And so with that, I will, Marshall, kind of type up my thoughts and just little tidbits, and I will get that to you, and we can get that process started.
Thank you.
Okay? Sean, baseball game or what?
Hockey.
Blackhawks, Red Wings.
What's that?
I said leave it to be.
Yes.
That's all. Yeah. All
the things we worked out. I think we had four or five in the first week. Things going in. Operating good. Still working on the bids on our breakers for the North substation. I had another incident where the breakers aren't operating properly. So that's going to be addressed in the next meeting. I'm going to come to you with the board to close that project. We ran miles of wire for the fall festival over the weekend and installed several temporaries and had people out after hours looking those up and disconnected them. But we made it through. We had no incidents during the show. That's the most important part.
We're going to work on it.
Nobody lost power. Our two newest employees completed their wood pole climbing lab, which is affectionately called boot camp. I think we got in check on them in Richmond. We had a meeting down there, and I checked on them to see how their progress was, and their constructive craft with their work ethic and their attitude. So,
great. That it? Questions of Sean? Thank you, Sean. Mike?
We've also hooked up four new services in the last couple weeks, and I know we have a few more that we've hooked up. They put the garage doors on the building today. Hopefully, they'll have their part done within next week.
Okay. Questions of Mike? Thank you, Mike. Jeff?
I want to elaborate on the fall festival. You missed a good band.
Yes.
Currently working on TIF issues through the Redevelopment Commission, possibility of expanding or adding a new TIF district, along with working on the facade program. Presented a draft to them today. We'll be going back with some modifications to that draft at their next meeting. We're working with a couple of existing industrial accounts here in the area that are expanding or looking at expanding. Also, downtown, if you haven't stopped in, Apple Pie Boutiques has opened up as of last Saturday. Stop in and say hi to Amanda. And then I just found out a little bit ago that the taxidermy, what's the name of it? Wild Hair. Down in Nick Miller's building has now opened up as well. So I intend to get down there. Last week I met with the library board. They asked to have me review the proposed maintenance of traffic with them for the 205 construction. I think that everybody was pretty well satisfied with the proposed maintenance of traffic plan, although I couldn't guarantee that that is for sure the best plan, because the contractor, whoever it might be awarded to, has the opportunity to come up with better, more efficient plans. I did walk away from, from the meeting with a couple of questions that need to be answered. I'm working on gathering those right now.
Okay, questions of Jeff? Thank you, Jeff. Tim?
On Friday night, we had numerous officers that participated in a saturation patrol. That resulted in 2 misdemeanor arrests, 8 citations, and 28 warnings. And Saturday, we had officers assisted with the Fall Festival and also the Woodley County Safety Day out at the Fun Center. Today, we had firearms training, but cut it short when the rain really cut loose. We had trouble with a lot of standing water out the range and targets that were falling over, so we called it short today. So we'll have to reschedule about half the department with firearms training. This afternoon, we had some defensive tactics training. There'll be another session of that next week. The new officers continue to train with the FTOs. And last week, Mark and I met with the Veterans Marathon folks to get things lined up for that. And work on that event and numerous others that are coming up in the next couple months. That's it.
Questions of Tim. Thank you, Tim. Thomas.
Last week was Fire Prevention Week. It's more than that anymore. It's more like Fire Prevention Month in October. Our guys are pretty much booked through the month of October doing fire prevention things for until probably through the first week of November, going around doing things like that. So that's always a big event for us. Chris came back from Pueblo, Colorado. The federal government mandated the trains to put on trainings for first responders in responding to incidents due to all the crude oil going up and down the rails and the increased incidents they've had in the past 5-6 years. It was pretty eye-opening for Chris getting there with guys from all over the country, from Chicago, East Coast areas, and hearing their responses that they're not even equipped to handle some of the things and scenarios that they were shown. The trains actually called us and had us put a guy in for that. They paid for everything, airfare, food, lodging, the whole kit and caboodle. Pretty neat training, so that happened. Also, Firefighter 1-2 starts tomorrow night in our firehouse. It's 2 nights a week till the first of the year, and then it becomes 2 nights a week and Saturdays. And it's now, Kyle informed me, it's a 7-month training now. It's not just 6 months. So that's a big event that's going to be taking place. Other than that, things are going well.
Questions of Tom? Thank you, Tom. Kelly?
We're preparing for leaf pickup. Randy got the machines serviced and have them in the shop. That'll be starting the 27th of October. Have a machine on each side of town. Still have a couple guys working on the brick crosswalks uptown here. And started cleaning lift stations for the wastewater department yesterday, I guess. And through the rains, had to quit a few times. But we'll be continuing that this week. We got 300 ton of salt in, trying to get the barn ready to for winter. And what else? Finished limb pickup last week, last one of the year. And Chesapeake Landing, they got a new phase out there that the sewers are being installed, and we're inspecting that for widenings.
Okay.
That's all I have.
Questions of Kelly? Thank you, Kelly. Mark?
I don't know if you had heard, but we had some fundraisers that we did for the Kids Dreamland Playground that really went over well. We had raised money at a football game, $1,200, and $1,600 at a volleyball game. And then the really exciting one, I guess, was when we had the kids bringing change to school. I want to thank Star Bank for counting all of that, but that was over $5,000 of change that they brought in. I think around $5,500. So it was a lot of change. It weighed out the back of my truck quite a bit. But I don't think you realize how much change that is until you see it. But it was a lot of work from Robin and the staff at Star. I spent my whole entire Monday there, and I appreciate them doing all that. But tomorrow I speak with Kiwanis about the playground as well, and again, to see if they may be interested in helping us out too. Still waiting to hear from DECO. I might hear from them here within the next month or so to see if they would help us with the project as well. We did some work for the Fall Festival last week, getting ready for that. And the big thing right now is that this Friday night, October 17th, is our Mother's Son Halloween party. I know that Melinda and Andrea worked hard on this. We have sold out our tickets, sold them out last week. And we didn't know, since we've never done this before, how it would go over. I think that the father-daughter dance success kind of actually helped this as well. We've had several businesses that have been sponsors for this event, and I think it's going to be a neat night. It goes from 6 to 9 at our pavilion and outside around the pavilion. If you want to stop it down and see it, more than welcome to come down. Love to have you, even if you want to help run games. But like I said, the mayor's going to be judging costumes. There'll be a lot of kids and parents dressed up, and I think it'll be a neat time. We delivered a land acquisition information today to potential sellers of the land for the aquatic facility, and so that's been done. The mayor and I did that this afternoon. So hopefully we'll know here next month if they accept our offer or want to make changes to it. And then the Veterans Marathon, as Tim brought up, is November 8th. And so that'll be a time where obviously there's a lot going on downtown around the courthouse and a lot of runners on the road. That's it.
Question to Mark.
Is it possible at some point for someone from the park board to kind of give us an update on where they are with that? Because I get questions from people in the public all the time, and I was like, I don't know.
Sure.
We've kind of been in a, I mean, they've kind of been in a stalemate for, well, I shouldn't say stalemate, they've kind of just been in place for a couple of months now, trying to get kind of to gauge interest and put together a contract for the land acquisition and things like that. And naturally, the park board is cautious about giving out that location because they don't want to put the owners in a weird position. So I would assume that it's...
Well, a good number of the public has some idea of where it's at. So
I figured that.
I mean, because I've had multiple people call me and say, you know, what do you think about them putting it here? And I said, well, they've not relayed that to us. So you know more than I do.
And I will say the park board has talked about having kind of a presentation or something to you in the near future. So,
well, like an update, like on fundraising and stuff like that too would be nice.
Yeah. And that's fine. That's perfectly fine. I think they just, so that's fine.
Mm-hmm. Well, information is getting out somewhere, somehow. So,
just out of curiosity, is any of the aquatic facility funding going to come through the council?
I guess the short answer is yes. The long answer is at least a portion of the funding, as I kind of see it, would come through capital improvement projects. Actually, probably more through cumulative capital development. But certainly the bonding will end up going through this board. This council.
I just think it'd be important that they have a discussion. This is what we're thinking.
I agree. That's fine.
Because we haven't agreed to anything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, as a council.
Right.
mean, we're telling people we want to buy land and
not even.
Yeah, well, but to be fair, the park board still has the ability to buy land. Has the ability to buy land.
For whatever use.
Through this past budget as well as this upcoming budget once it's approved, we've set aside money through both of those budgets for land acquisition, aquatic facility type stuff. So from that perspective, I mean, that's where they're getting their money to do that. And their budget comes from you, certainly.
And I'm not saying I disagree with what's going on, but it just seems procedurally odd that we haven't even approved the budget for the money that they plan on using.
That's not true. You have approved the budget.
There's not money in the 2015?
There is money in the 2015, but the money that they're looking to use to purchase the land was approved in this year's, in 2014's budget. Yeah.
It just seemed odd procedural to me. I wasn't.
I understand. And again,
I'm not necessarily against it. I'm just.
This is, to be fair, this is this park board's first rodeo. This is my first rodeo. This is Mark's first rodeo in this regard. So, trying to figure out what pieces go where. We have engaged Marcia a little bit in helping us a little bit from the legal perspective. But certainly, if you guys would like an update, which was already projected, but we can move that if you'd like to the next meeting, if that's something you'd like.
Sure, I'd like to hear what's going on.
Okay. Next meeting. Okay. That's fine. Any other questions of Mark? Okay. Thank you. Marcia?
Nothing.
Rosie?
Just that we got the approval back on our storm emergency money that... Hmm. We filed for
our snow money from
our snow money that we
six,
filed
seven,
ago.
8 months ago. Ago,
just in time.
Yeah,
for the new one.
We should be getting. I think we are approved for $31,000, and we get 75%, so about $23,000 back. Mm. So better than I guess. It might buy
a truckload of salt.
How much did we have wrapped up into it with all that?
Oh, we had a lot more than that.
Yeah.
That's what was approved, so should be getting it any day.
Every little bit helps.
Yeah, because most of them are out of money, so it's going to help them. Well, because they spent so much in January and February.
Yeah, all the overtime and.
Yeah.
Let's just hope for another a winter that's not like last.
Yeah.
Farmers Almanac says we're going to have another.
I know.
As long as it waits until January until we get our new budget. Yeah.
And
I've heard catastrophic.
To be.
I have.
Nice.
I've heard that.
What'd she say?
I've heard catastrophic.
Oh.
We're not going to get anything. Anytime they predict that, that's what's going to happen.
Well. No matter how it is, our crews will be ready, and we'll do what we have to do to make sure the roads are clear. So.
We got through it pretty good last year.
Yeah.
I mean, for what we had handed to us.
As I told you, last year I got a lot of compliments from individuals both inside as well as outside the city limits that they were pleased with how the roads looked. So. And driven. Well, that's always, but that's always a complication.
We have an empty lot.
Yeah. We need to end this council meeting. Okay, so I didn't say it's over, though. Okay, so a lot of things have happened recently. Good stuff, I think, for the most part. Jeff and I continue to work, as well as, to be fair, as well as Sean and Mike, continue to work on the Bluebell project and trying to figure out our kind of local match portion. I will be kind of bringing that to you very, 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 very soon. Had a meeting on Monday with our new state representative. He was digging into a couple of things, had gotten some complaints about Main Street and the condition of Main Street, had discussed a little bit with NDOT, and I actually had a meeting today with Tony Mayo from NDOT to discuss not only Main Street, but some other little bits and pieces here and there. But they are Kelly, they did take notes regarding that manhole in front of Star Bank, which you probably have all heard or probably hit. I hit it almost daily, and they're going to take a look at it. They said
the catch basin that's
sunk. Yeah, okay. And I'll give you more information and stuff, but just wanted to.
About a half a foot down.
So afterwards, see me, and I'll make sure to give you information. Hmm. But RDC did a lot of work. I'll let Ben explain any more than he wants to. But in my discussions with Representative Judy, he did tell me that he had a discussion with the state budget agency, and basically the state budget agency said that surplus, that $2 billion surplus that our residents asked us to look into, seeing if maybe they would be willing to give us a chunk of that to help with this. Basically, for lack of better words, they're hoarding that for a potential recession. Not that they're foreseeing a recession, but just in case. So. I really appreciated the fact that Representative Judy went to that end and helped us in looking that up and talking with them about that. So, ribbon cutting tomorrow at 4 p.m. at Star Financial Bank for the renovation, and so you're certainly all invited to attend that. I'm going to be spending some time at CCHS tomorrow afternoon for job day. I guess they're taking PSATs in the daytime, and we've rescheduled youth council from Wednesday to Friday, so we'll be doing that on Friday. And citywide open house is this Saturday. My department heads are so excited about it. We hope we'll get a better turnout than last time if our good friends at the Post and Mail can push it a little bit more. That good old citywide open house, they can literally come in, see the processes of how, you know, our water gets cleaned, or our sewer gets, you know, cleaned and pushed out to the river and becomes cleaner than the actual river water itself. They can see the inside of a police car or a fire truck.
What time is that?
That's from 9 to noon.
There's a lot of ways they can find the inside.
9 to noon. I didn't hear that. I don't think I wanted to. Besides that, I think that's about all I have. Thursday, I will be going to Kendallville for the there's a OCRA one-day local official thing on the 23rd, and then Friday we will be hosting the Mayor's Roundtable at Eagle's Nest. So we'll have lots of individuals. We're going to have a panel of media people, kind of talking about the changing face of media. So try to have one from radio, one from news, one from newspaper, one from online, and one from television to talk about how we, as you know, as mayors, if you will, how we adjust the way in which we try to get information out.
That's Friday the 24th.
We all are.
Okay. What did I say?
You said Friday, but we have a Friday coming up before that.
Yes, I'm sorry. Friday the 24th. I apologize. That's all I have. I'll quit talking. Dan?
Nothing.
Ben?
I think Jeff covered most of the RDC stuff that we spent 3 hours discussing today. We are reevaluating the TIF district primarily to clean up some areas, number one, and give us the ability to invest in some areas that need redeveloped. So we've got proposed maps if any of you want to see it.
Okay.
We can share that with you.
Yeah. Thank you.
And on the facade grant, in talking to some of the people that we've issued them to, there are some areas that they wished it had in it that it doesn't currently have in it. So we're looking at making some changes to make it serve a broader group of people, as well as more things on a building. So.
Okay. Thank you. Nicole?
Nothing.
Bill?
Nothing.
Media? Press. Media press. Sorry. Public? Okay. Okay. Okay, then we'll call the meeting adjourned. Thank you.